My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Those comforting words of Psalm 27 mean a lot to us, don't they, brothers and sisters? And when we read that psalm, it may bring some pictures to mind. A few months ago, on a family trip, we were right down the bottom end of the North Island, to the most southern point, to a place called Cape Palliser. And out on the end of this cape, there is a lighthouse, and it's a very well-kept lighthouse. It's probably in your old territory.
You haven't got a picture up there yet, have you?
No, that's good. Sorry, we don't have a picture of your lighthouse, but I'm sure that you've all been to Cape Palliser, some of you anyway. Now, when we go on a family journey, we get the map book out, and especially for myself, I search the coastline, especially for anywhere near the coast, because I'm looking out for that little symbol of a little lighthouse symbol with the rays of light coming out. And I'll often say to my family, that's where we're going. And sometimes we all take a little vote, and sometimes my vote wins, and off we go. Now, as you all know, some lighthouses are easy to get to, but a lot of them are not. They're often in very remote areas because they're often on the rugged pieces of coastline, and they're there for that reason. You have to go off the beaten track. Now, on this recent trip to Cape Palliser, it just seemed a bit rougher than normal. Because of recent storms, there was a lot more debris, and the last time we went there, when we didn't have children, of course, we thought that was quite easy. But this time, there seemed a bit more tense energy in the car as we're driving along the little ledges to get out to this lighthouse. And the great thing about lighthouses is that they also come with beautiful surroundings, don't they? There's often not only the rugged, wild coastline and that vista and the views that you get of the ocean, but also you see the animals on the edge of the ocean, the birds and the seals. And on some locations, you'll be driving down towards the lighthouse and you'll see whales. And some verses out of the Psalms come to mind about that, about the way the ships and Leviathan jumping out of the water, etc. Some beautiful mind pictures when you read verses out of the Psalms. Lighthouses themselves are really amazing. Each one comes with a history. It's been located there for a reason. And they have often themselves been built from the foundation up in very extreme conditions. Something that you don't really appreciate until you get to visit the lighthouse. And if you're lucky, you'll get to go inside on one of these visits. And you get to climb up a spiral staircase if it has one. I remember one staircase in Australia, I think it was, with Anita, that there was actually a few steps missing in this spiral staircase, and so it took a step of faith to continue on to get the view from the top. For our South Island visitors. Of course, there's Dog Island Lighthouse. I'm sure that you know it well. No? You haven't? Anyway, just off your coast, there's a beautiful little island painted black and white. It's on Dog Island, and you can just tell that it's kept and it's well looked after and it's still fit for purpose today. Thus, so I just... Oh, it's up there, is it? Great, excellent. It's a bit hard to see from this backside. Cool. So, a couple of years ago, the BBC ran a documentary about the Largemon Lighthouse. It's located off the Brittany coast, off the west coast of France, that faces the Atlantic Ocean. And the Portuguese and the French call this coastline the end of the earth, because the oceans beyond that coastal edge are wild. Like, some of the world's largest waves and storms occur along this coastline. And it's just to the south of England. And in this documentary, they reunited a famous photographer, John Gutchard, who took a series of photos, one of which you're looking at here, which I'm sure that you've all seen before. Has everyone seen this photo before? No, you obviously don't have a lighthouse book like me. Right, okay. So this is one of the world's most replicated photographs in history. It's amazing. And so just the story behind this photograph is, it's the stormy season, right? So lighthouse keepers, they know that the ocean's rough around them, and when it is rough, they normally just keep inside. They have lots of things to do. They've got to make sure that the light is operational, because that's the reason why you have a lighthouse, especially out along this coastline, where there's a lot of ships coming and going through that area. On this occasion, on this day, he could hear this noise, and he wasn't quite sure, possibly like a helicopter noise, but his curiosity got the better of him, and even in this storm, he opened the door just to have a look. But he didn't realise that one of the biggest waves of the day was about to hit the lighthouse. This is the start of a 30-metre wave that was about to crash into a lighthouse that was only 48 metres high. And as the sequence of photos goes on, you'll actually see that it wraps around, it fully engulfs the lighthouse, and then shoots up, and the top of the lighthouse is barely visible. And in fact, it did quite a bit of damage to the lower area of the lighthouse on this occasion. And of course, this picture went worldwide, went global, and it was replicated by many people. And many people, even brothers and sisters that I know, have this picture on their wall at home. Amazing. For many years, the gossip was that this lighthouse keeper, there's no way that he could have survived that. He was a goner. The impact of the water as it curled around would have taken him. But of course, the lighthouse keeper was close enough to the door. He didn't venture too far out. He was close enough to the door that in that instant that he saw that he was in danger, he just stepped back. He stepped back inside, closed the door, and he was safe. It brings to mind some more words of David from the second book of Samuel, chapter 22. When the waves of death can pass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David, in his life, faced many great risks. There are times when he could have lost his life. Many people wanted him dead. But he stood back when he knew that he was in great danger. Have you ever thought about being a lighthouse keeper yourself? That's quite a romantic idea. I always dream about it. Because, you've got plenty of quiet time to think, and you get to look at the amazing creation that God has put in front of us. But on a nice day, it's a great place to be. On a stormy day, you might think, what am I doing here? And many lighthouse keepers keep on asking the same old question. Will the lighthouse stand? We all feel the pressures of the world around us, don't we, brothers and sisters? The sea and the waves are roaring, aren't they? Yet if we place our confidence, our trust in God and in His Son, the rock on whom we base our faith, we do not need to fear for our lives. In Psalm 65, we read, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Reassuring words for us in our time now. Most lighthouses are built on solid rock. And it's really important for the lighthouse to be securely fixed to that rock. Because day after day, year after year, the constant beating of the waves has its impact and its effect. And it can undermine the foundation. This lighthouse here, the La Jamon lighthouse, was inspected 20 years after it was built, so it's about 1932. It was inspected at low tide, of course. They took the boats out and had a look. Let's check the foundation. And the keeper was shocked because the anchor points that were there when the lighthouse was built, they were gone. It only took 2 decades for those anchor points to be eroded and washed away. It was only the sheer weight of the structure that was keeping it on the rock, keeping it from being swept away into the sea. One of the challenges for a lighthouse keeper is to keep that light burning. And with more modern lighthouses with the lenses, they themselves are a very intricate and important part of the lighthouse. There's many little different facets and angles that need to be kept so the lighthouse will shine the way it should. Light itself is an amazing thing, isn't it? Being able to project the light, a ray of light through the atmosphere, through a fog, over a long distance. It's actually quite an amazing thing. And that's what God did in the very beginning, didn't He? He provided light through the darkness. And we read about that in Genesis 1, that when the earth was without form and when it was void and when there was only darkness over the face of the deep, that God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Scriptures tell us clearly that God is light, that He dwells in light unapproachable by mortals. But God in His wisdom has been pleased to reveal Himself to the human race in providing the scriptures and the light of the gospel. And all throughout history, God has been calling out individuals with this light to be keepers of His marvellous light. In 2 Corinthians 4 we read, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now no two lighthouses are the same. Just like us, we are all different. We come in all different shapes and sizes and age, and we're all in different locations. Lighthouses change in their design, in their decoration, the type of materials that they've been constructed from. And lighthouses, of course, some shine brightly across large distances and some are more for like harbour entry. Some lighthouses are built on the relative safety of the mainland, and others, as we know, are built a long way off, in the midst of the raging sea. But wherever we find ourselves in our lives, brothers and sisters, our purpose in this life is the same. To avoid the dangers of the sea, to use the lighthouse both as our shelter and to warn those around us of the dangers that lie ahead. To stand firm until our Lord and Master returns. In 1 Peter 2 we read, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In God's mercy, each one of us has been called out of the darkness of the world around us, and we have a knowledge of the light, of God's purpose to fill this earth with His glory. And it's up to us, brothers and sisters, to use the light, to focus it correctly and project God's message where we can. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and as a result, glorify your Father which is in heaven." Being a lighthouse keeper is no holiday. It comes with a great responsibility. A knowledge and understanding of the truth brings both with it great privileges and great responsibility. Many lives, including our own, are dependent on the light provided by the lighthouse. The qualifications required to become a lighthouse keeper today are far more demanding in some ways than ever before. In some instances, tasks have become more complicated as it's become more automated. Just like how the truth today is apparently not as simple as the first century, with the introduction of many false doctrines and wrong beliefs, yet the truth today still remains simple enough for a child to understand. Just think of that hermit from, say, like the 16th century, a really early, old lighthouse. He didn't need to be able to read and write. He just needed to be able to build a fire and keep it going all through the night. However, for a keeper of a lighthouse, some things will never change. Lighthouse keepers have to wait and endure through very long periods of time. They might not see anyone else for a long time. Extreme times of solitude in order to keep that light going. And so a lighthouse keeper is a strange job, and it requires patience and the ability to wait. I mean, they have to be on the lookout for technical problems, for sure. There's nothing worse for a lighthouse keeper than that light going out. The days are filled with routine, and there's always the danger of boredom setting in, which in a way can be far worse than any massive wave that's coming towards the tower. Keepers need to occupy the lighthouse until the next lighthouse keeper arrives to take their shift or provisions are provided. And so we are encouraged on a regular basis as we read through God's scriptures to keep and to maintain the light to the best of our ability. And as we are here today to remember our Lord Jesus, the rock on which our faith stands, we need to maintain what we have been given. And what better way than to come together and to remember Jesus in the partaking of the emblems. In Acts 26 we read of God's purpose that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, that shall have the light of life. Our Heavenly Father takes great pleasure in those who endure, who keep and maintain the light. And I'm sure for any lighthouse keeper, in this location there's actually three lighthouses that are very close to each other. And what a great joy it would be for if you were a lighthouse keeper to look out across the dark horizon and you see that reassuring light from another lighthouse. It must be good. Our light encourages each other to burn brighter in our efforts to serve God and to follow Christ, who has brought life to light. So, brothers and sisters, with the time that remains to us, do everything that you can to maintain your lighthouse. There is nothing worse than travelling a long way to go to a lighthouse, sometimes on the other side of the world, and you get all excited about going there, and even though it's a large structure, you turn up, it's all rusted and decayed. But it's great when you go to a lighthouse and it's freshly painted and it's clean and it's functional and it's doing its job. In Romans 13 we read that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. When Christ returns, the raging waves will be completely still. He has demonstrated his power to do that. And those that have willingly kept his word will receive our Heavenly Father's reward. And we read of this in Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and there was no more curse. And they shall see his face, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And so in that day, may we be able to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.